topic, American Democracy, the Founding Fathers. Dr. Meade.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy to inaugurate this series of radio talks on American democracy. In these momentous days, it is important to re-examine the basis of our democratic way of life, to realize how much is at stake in the great struggle which is and the world today. I speak with deliberation when I say that the American democracy is passing through the greatest crisis in its entire history. We have faced trying and critical periods in the past, notably in the Great Civil War of 80 years ago. But never before have the fundamental ideals that we have cherished in America been so definitely challenged. Never before has the American way of life been in such serious danger. It seems clear that the future of Western civilization will be determined by the gigantic struggle in which we are engaged. It is, in fact, a life and death struggle for the principles that we have cherished in America: freedom of speech, of religion, and the enjoyment of life and liberty. The European and Asiatic dictators have not attempted to conceal their determination to crush democracy, not only within the borders of their own country, but also in all foreign lands that they can reach. The people of this country, I suspect, are apparently only dimly aware of the real menace which confronts us. The old fiction of the protection of the two oceans is slow in dying. Abraham Lincoln once declared that this nation could not continue half slave and half free. No more can this world continue half totalitarian and half democratic. Peace with the totalitarian dictators can only be a brief truce. Dictators cannot rest. With the world divided between great areas ruled by militarily successful dictators and other areas operating under liberal freedom, the very existence of those freedoms would constitute a continuing danger to the despots. The ferocious and tremendous initial successes of tyranny against human freedom have caused some Americans to waver and have put others in a state of complete bewilderment. Some timid souls say that freedom is a passing dream and that something better is coming to take the place of freedom. The totalitarian states have overawed the democratic states by a display of power, by a willingness and ability to fight. They have proved their ability to revive national morale, maintain order, and regulate the anarchical forces in society. But they have done these things at fearful cost, at the cost of what we have come to regard the very essentials of civilization. The democracies of the world appear weak and ineffectual in the face of organized might of the dictators. Too often, the democratic nations have dwelt upon the rights of the individual and have minimized democratic responsibilities. For a century and a half, we have taken our fundamental rights for granted. We have thought too much of our privileges and too little of our duties. In the present crisis which confronts our country, it is worthwhile to turn back to the days of the founding fathers and to consider the crisis which confronted them and the sacrifices which they made in order that we might enjoy the blessings of our democratic way of life. When, in 1776, the 13 small communities that constituted the British colonies in America determined to separate from the mother country, they issued a proclamation to the world setting forth their reasons for revolt and enunciating certain broad principles upon which they hoped to found a new nation. All men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So says the Declaration of Independence. For 7 long years, the colonists fought to realize these ideals. They fought, too, against great odds and had to overcome many disappointments. Washington, at Valley Forge, might well have given up hope of success. There were, in those days, as there are today, timid souls who shrunk from the sacrifices that had to be made. The Revolution also had its 5th columnists who vigorously opposed the cause of freedom. With independence won, the founding fathers faced the difficult problem of organizing peace. The first experiment in national organization, namely the Articles of Confederation, proved to be ineffective, and for a time it seemed that each of the 13 states might go its own way as an independent republic. The Congress of the Confederation could not enforce its authority upon the individual states. Several of the states refused to pay their quotas of requisitions for the support of the central government. Some of the states levied tariff duties upon goods coming from neighboring states. For 7 years, the new nation managed to survive under this inadequate constitution. And then, in 1787, there met in Philadelphia some 55 delegates representing the 13 states, called for the purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. Of all the many historic assemblies that have met to formulate constitutions, probably none has commanded more political talent and practical experience than the Constitutional Convention of 1787. This is remarkable in view of the youthful character of the members of the convention. Of the 55 delegates, only 12 were over 54 years of age. James Madison, one of the most active members, was only 36 years old. Gouverneur Morris, another influential delegate, was only 33. And Charles Pinckney was only 29. From such youthful minds, It might have been expected that many radical proposals and impractical panaceas would be proposed to the convention. Such was not the case. They had met to accomplish results and not to discuss abstract theories. For materials with which to put together a new constitution, they looked to their own experience in the colonies and to the principles of free government as developed in England. Of one thing, the members of the Constitutional Convention felt sure, namely that men had rights and that the government existed to protect those rights. It was no easy task that confronted the delegates to the convention. For 4 months, they struggled to reconcile the rival interests of the large and small states and of the agricultural and industrial sections of the country. For more than once, dissolution of the convention seemed imminent, the delegates being held together, as one of them said, only by the strength of a hair. In the end, however, the patriotism and the good sense of the delegates prevailed, and by dint of compromise and concession, they formulated the document which, after ratification by the 13 states, became the Constitution of the United States. 3 years after the adoption of the Constitution, 10 amendments were added, comprising the so-called Bill of Rights. These amendments assured to the people such fundamental rights as religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, the right of petition, and security from arbitrary arrest and imprisonment. The framers of the Constitution builded better than they knew. It is doubtless true, as has often been said, that many of the leading members of the convention did not believe in real democracy, and that they were more interested in the protection of property rights than they were in the assurance of human rights. The fact remains that they did devise an instrument which has served as the foundation upon which a great nation has been built. The founding fathers wisely prepared a document flexible enough to be adapted to the many changes which during the past century and a half have occurred in this country. During these years, the United States has expanded from a fringe of small settlements along the Atlantic seaboard to a vast empire extending from the Atlantic to the Pacific and reaching far out into both oceans. It has grown in population from 4 million to 130 million. Comprising people from all parts of the world. It has changed in these years from a simple agricultural community into the greatest industrial nation of the world. And yet that same Constitution, drafted in 1787, with few significant changes, serves the great America of today. It is a great heritage which has come down to us from the founding fathers. Today we are engaged in a gigantic struggle to preserve this heritage. We are fighting for those rights that have always been associated with our history as a nation, our spiritual heritage, the great principles proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States is at stake. Is America prepared to meet this challenge? The evil forces abroad in the world today cannot be exorcised by pious incantations or feeble affirmations of allegiance to democratic ideals. Positive and vigorous measures must be taken to combat the forces that would destroy everything that we hold dear. We must demonstrate our ability to organize our vast material and moral resources with the same determination that the totalitarian regimes have shown. And above all, we must recapture something of the spirit which animated the founding fathers. We must be willing to endure the same sacrifices which they made 150 years ago. In the great days, the strenuous, trying days, which lie ahead, we may well look back upon the lives of the men and women who blazed the way for us. We can be proud of our heritage, the spirit of the frontier, the inheritors of those men and women who, when they were thrown on their own resources in a vast continental wilderness, instead of degenerating into savagery, which surrounded them, laid the foundations of a great nation. I do not believe that this nation is soft. I am persuaded that when the American people are fully aroused to the great menace which confronts them today, they will prove themselves worthy of the great heritage that is theirs.
Thank you, Dr. Meade. Your city station, cooperating with the City College Civilian Defense Council, has brought you the initial program of Our Stake in the War, a series sketching in broad outline many facets of the war effort and its impact upon all of us. Our speaker this afternoon has been Dr. Nelson P. Meade, Chairman of the Department of History of the City College. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.
Enough sugar is wasted in New York City and...